NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky.
Final hour, NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, and Fourier, Sports Radio, WEEI, Pats and Titans at 1. Then after the game, real post-game show right here on WEEI, Ordway, Smirlis, and Diassi. Recapping all things Patriots and Mike Vrabel's Tennessee Titans. Our guest here this hour, our buddy Tommy Curran, brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. The whole crew's back together. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
It's great to have everyone together, isn't it? Nice camaraderie.
Really is. The full complement of the arsenal to really attack the conversation with Tommy Curran. I guess we'll start there. The Patriots do not have their full complement today, Tom. Once again, Rob Gronkowski out. He's missed 3 or 4 weeks. Did you get any signs this week that he was going to play in this game? Is this expected him missing? And where do we stand right now, Gronk and his injury with this Patriots team?
No, I didn't expect him to play. Just as the week wore along, more and more talk of have this week, then the bye week, then the time off. Should bring him back for a stretch run where he should be able to be approaching effectiveness. Now, how close he can get to that level of effectiveness with the ankle in the back, and I think it's more the ankle than the back at this juncture, we'll see. But it's certainly, when you look at the arc of Gronk's time here, and I heard you guys talking about it just a few minutes ago, this is probably the stretch run of Rob Gronkowski as a New England Patriot, these final five games, and then the postseason.
How do you think it ends? Is it, because again, there's so many different scenarios. He could just get straight up cut. He could get traded. He could retire. Because if you're saying he's done, then he's not going to take a Danny Amendola pay cut then, right?
I'm not saying he's done necessarily of his own volition. I'm just saying this is his final period of time as a Patriot. He's on the books for $11.7 million right now.
Yeah. Right.
They tried to get out from under it last year, weren't able to do it. And for that $11.7 million, through no fault of Gronk's, you know, it's his body, his ankle, back, he hasn't been able to bring them the reward. So they're not going to be interested in, after not getting $11.7 in cap hit out of him, going up to $12 million in cap hit next year for the final season. Of his contract.
On Friday, he said that, you know, it's up to the coaches if he plays on Sunday. Is that true?
Well, the coaches and the coach will always say that it's up to the trainers and it's up to the medical staff. So once he gets cleared, then they're going to watch him run. I mean, he was out there on the field this week, moving, high knees, the whole nine yards. So it's not as if he's completely laid low. If the coach's decision is to sit him, then it is a store him up for the stretch run type of decision, which is generally something that the Patriots do. But I wonder if they look across the field from themselves figuratively and say, how many points is Tennessee going to score on us? Just give the guy a week. We need him against Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. We'll need him against Minnesota.
Yes, I actually think it'd be a change of scenery would be good for him, but let's wait for that. That's another story for another time.
Right.
Is Malcolm Butler as bad as everyone thinks he is right now? Forget about last year. Forget about the Super Bowl. How's he playing right now?
Bad. He's playing bad. I mean,
Is it situational? Is it because the plays that he's giving up are so impactful? Like, I just saw more clips of him just getting beat on double moves that didn't go for touchdowns. So I'm curious, to see, is it just us overreacting, or is he actually one of the worst in the league?
Remember when you guys, no, I mean, the numbers bear it out. I mean, he's let up 7 touchdowns of the 13 that the Titans have allowed this year. The Titans have a pretty good defense in terms of, you know, keeping people out of the end zone. I think it's 13 touchdowns that they've allowed defensively, and he's 7 can be traced to him. So it's bad. And remember when you guys used to play Polamalu and all you had to do was run a little play action and he'd come tear-assing up or just look one way or the other and he'd go too far?
Yeah.
That's, I think, what Malcolm has gotten himself into. And the league has wised up to it. All you have to do is flinch in a particular way and he'll go. And they can't have that. He just doesn't play. And that's why I think he did the Patriots a massive favor by thinking he was going to get Josh Norman money, which he kind of actually did, and saying no thanks to their offer that they put in front of him.
I know you reported the, not only the offer they put in front of him, the offer in, when they, you wrote about this week, Tom. Curious your thoughts on the Ian Rappaport story today that he talked to sources who said that, you know, the Patriots said to Butler and his agent, hey, if you don't get the deal you want, come back and talk to us, and would have paid him somewhere in the $10 million range even after having signed Stephon Gilmore. Is that something that seems likely the Patriots would have done in your mind?
I didn't see that report. What's the timeline on that? It wasn't after this past season, right?
Yes. After Ian Rappaport reported this morning, courtesy of NFL Network, that after the season, even after the Eagles Super Bowl, that sources told Rappaport the Patriots are still open to bringing him back, and essentially said to the agent, if you don't find the deal you like, come back and talk to us. And as you said, obviously he found that deal. We all found that a little bit curious, given how it ended. Did not play in the Super Bowl, that they would still even bring him back at that reduced rate that was on the table, according to Rappaport this morning.
Yeah, I would hope the rate was significantly and drastically reduced, because the team is fairly close to the cap already. Maybe at that point they thought they were going to get out from under Rob Gronkowski in the offseason, but I can't imagine that they were going to give him something in the neighborhood of $10 million a year when they're already spending that on the other side with Gilmore, Hightower, McCourty, Gronkowski, Brady. Yeah, I wouldn't have been stunned if they tried to broker something and bring him back. I mean, they've had guys leave and come back, Blunt, Patrick Chung, you know, on down the line. We can come up with a few more, but just not for the same value. That feels Sunday splashy to me.
That's a headline. Sunday splashy. Patriots still had interest in Butler despite benching. You can find that rap sheet in NFL Network everywhere else. The guy who has replaced him as the now de facto number one cornerback, Stephon Gilmore. All the advanced metrics, like you look at Pro Football Focus, he's the first or second best cornerback in the league. He shadows the best receivers. He did a great job against Davante Adams last week against the Packers. Forget the rankings, Tom. As you've watched him, has he lived up to that hype as one of the best cornerbacks in the league this year?
Yes. And one of the things about him as you watch him is, and I especially, you know, would point out the play that he made in the end zone last week when there was a pressure. I think the pressure came from Claiborne on Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers wasn't able to step into a throw into the end zone from about the 15. And Gilmore was on Adams and got bumped a little bit by a teammate, might have been Jonathan Jones, and he had missed, you know, he probably had gotten, he lost contact a little bit. But while the ball was in the air, he was able to accelerate under control, get up, and still break the pass up. And I think that's where you look at him as opposed to, for instance, Malcolm Butler. And that's the difference between the 10th overall pick in 2012, which Gilmore was, and a guy from West Alabama who's very talented and probably should have been able to play in college and be drafted. But the limitations of a guy who's 5'10", as Butler is. You know, Gilmore's got that length. He's got that long, under-control stride. And Butler, when he needed to use his catch-up speed, I mean, his little legs were going as fast as they could. And just didn't arrive under control the way Gilmore does. Very under-control player.
So what do you think the game plan should be for the Titans as far as offensively moving the ball? I always feel like there's two different options. You could try and play, you know, keep up with the Patriots and their offense and throw it all over the place and play tempo, or you slow it down like Detroit did and Jacksonville did, using the play clock, trying to take away as many possessions as possible. What do you think they're going to do?
If what will Tennessee do?
Yeah.
Tennessee has to presume that the Patriots are going to put up numbers. And Mike Vrabel has to look at this and say, they're better than us. All right. Tom knows what we do defensively. Tom knows Dean. He knows, you know, they put up 35 on us in the playoffs last year, so they know our personnel. Let's throw everything at them. So if I'm Tennessee, I'm thinking I need to score at least 25 points, which they haven't done all year long. They've scored over 20 points twice this year. 28 against, I can't remember who it was, and then 26 against Philadelphia. 28 on Monday, actually.
Yeah,
and 26
Cowboys, yep.
Against Philadelphia. But other than that, they don't score over 20 points. So the Patriots aren't going to be held in the teens. So you better go aggressive.
I don't think Tennessee has a ton of talent, but they were 9-7 each of the last 2 years. They were a playoff team last year. So at 4-4 right now, Do you think Mike Vrabel's getting the most out of him?
I do. I think that they're so limited on offense. You know, Delanie Walker got hurt, and he might be one of their better offensive players, even as old as he is. Thank God they have Deion Lewis. Thank God they signed him, because he has accounted for a large amount. He's their second leading receiver. He's their number one rusher. Corey Davis is a good player, but you know, Mariota's just not accurate enough to take advantage of teams and defenses. And they haven't played the greatest assemblage of talent yet either. So I think Mike Vrabel has done pretty well. Isn't it funny, though? Mariota's one of those Blake Bortles type of quarterbacks, a little bit better than Blake, or at least he has a better propaganda machine around him. But he's like just good enough to you don't want – he's like a Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, he's an NFL starter, but he's –
also, for them, and Vrabel, he's got this fifth-year contract coming up, which they'll probably pick up that final year. But I don't think he's going to get one of these massive contracts, Tom. His play has set that up where there's half the organization probably thinks he's our guy going forward. There are probably people saying, well, you just said, he's Blake Bortles, and we can't win with Blake Bortles right now in this league.
Yeah, he's upside down touchdowns to interceptions last year. I think it's 5-5 this year.
Yeah, and 5 fumbles.
Can't get by with that in 2018.
He's better than Jake Locker.
Can't have it.
Gronk obviously is not going to play today, which means Jacob Hollister, the elusive Jacob Hollister, a guy that Rich and I forget if you were with us, Tom, we all thought going into the year he'd pick up a bunch of these targets that, you know, everyone gone, he would be a factor. Is this the day front and center for Hollister against the Titans?
Front and center?
Yes.
No. No, but I think he'll sneak in from off stage and do a little bit and then sneak back off. I could imagine, look, if he gets 4 targets, that's a busy day for Jacob Hollister. Wouldn't it? I mean, I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he's going to be a staple of their game plan.
Yeah, I guess if the plan of attack is go after that guy Butler, who's not been very good, and you can set up play action with Josh Gordon, that's probably, you know, plan A, and then Logan Ryan and Edelman is B. And so Hollister's probably down that list, but we've heard so much about him being that receiving tight end that I feel like it's the new toy. I want to see them break out
the
new toy.
I want to see how much they'll use Sony Michel.
Yeah, that's
because play action was so effective. They've been using Cordarrelle Patterson and getting something out of him. But what they're getting is, you know, off of tosses and zone blocking stuff. You know, you can run some traps and counters and be a little bit more sophisticated with a real running back in there. So I'm wondering, you know, do they manage his workload a little bit and let him have a quieter day into the bye and then out?
You can break a tie here. Oh, sorry for you.
No, you go. You go.
You break a quick tie between me and Mutt, Tom. The tougher team for the Patriots to face in the playoffs would be the Chiefs or the Steelers.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You're just looking at what the Steelers just did on Thursday night, so maybe that's a difficult.
No, I'm looking at the sidelines.
The coaches.
I'm looking at the sidelines.
Yeah. And who wins that battle?
I know. It's not a route. It's certainly not a route.
Double
training,
KO.
Both knock each other out. Maybe if they join together. I got a better question for you, an easier question.
Wow.
Who's a better actor, Terry Bradshaw?
You're right. Better question.
Or Brian Bosworth?
Terry Bradshaw.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I forgot.
Fourier tried to say earlier that Bosworth is a top 5 all-time athlete turned actor, which the callers
really
are all disagree.
Outrageous. Yeah.
Apparently, you forget about Fred Dreyer.
No, yes,
we got those calls.
And Carl Weathers and a lot more.
Carl Weathers.
We got those calls.
All right, last one for me. Bye week. Do the Patriots get a contract extension done with Trent Brown during the bye, Tom?
No.
Pretty simple.
But it would be a great idea. That would be a terrific idea. Get him off the market. It'd be great if they could do that with him and Trey Flowers. And if I'm Trent Brown, I'm gonna test things. Wouldn't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Based on the pub he's getting as being one of the best tackles in the game. Yeah, I mean,
What Nate Solder got. He's
absolutely.
I mean, you can be you can be an average left tackle and get paid unbelievable money. It's just unreal.
Who's had a worse year, Nate Solder or Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, we had that debate.
Malcolm
also.
Butler by a lot.
Definitely Malcolm
Butler.
Okay. Right. Yeah, it's not
all right.
Even close.
All right. Forget it. Just throwing it out there.
Both guys got chastised by Booger in the Boogermobile Monday Night Football.
He's
Tommy Kern. He'll be on your TV later today. He's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lepresi, the hair doctors of course, Tommy Kern. 1-800-GET-HAIR. And who'd you pick? Pat's cover today, or are you going to go Titans?
Patriots 26-10. Patriots 26-10.
Nice. Snooze fest. Well done. Tom, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
We'll, of course, be on during the bye week, so hopefully Tom will be able to join us. 617-779-7937. Christian Fourier is back. Christian, good TV today? Bad TV? How we go?
It's always good TV.
Yeah, come on.
You can be honest. Sometimes
it's good TV. I gave my key and I got out of there.
Okay.
Oh,
we come back. When we come back.
Keys?
When we come back.
No. Key. It doesn't make a sound.
Okay. Keith does a terrible segment called Keith's Keys.
I love it.
Fourier's singular key on this game next.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mutt, and Keith is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
What were your impressions of the Giant game the other night?
Offensively, you know, I think we're on the right track. You know, all the stuff that we worked on, you know, it worked pretty well. We didn't do anything crazy. You know, our offense is still real vanilla right now. We're not, like, throwing in crazy packages or, you know, crazy plays or anything like that. We're just trying to, you know, kind of fine-tune the stuff that we really want to emphasize for the season. You know, our basic stuff, you know, then we'll add on it, I guess, later on in the year. But for the most part, you know, I was pretty happy. I wish we would have, you know, gotten into the end zone. Like,
really happy.
The four tries when we were down there. Like,
I don't know who that is. Who is that, by the way?
Convert those
that guy's
into,
a jerk.
Know, 6 points instead of three. But for the most part, I was pretty happy with
it. To answer your question, I do know. I do know.
You know? You know? Talk about it. Christian Fourier. That's Christian Fourier with Newmy and who? Newmy and Dickerson?
It was Dale and Newmy. Yeah, Dale was off that date. Circa 2003.
Electric.
Now, have
Electric.
We tallied the you knows compared to our boy Trey Flowers?
Yes, we have.
Do we have a number on that?
I do.
So we're going to release that tomorrow, right?
Yes, on OMF.
I'm sure you're listening at 2 o'clock.
Get your bets in now.
We're going to get to that. Guys, let's talk this Titans game. Jacob Hollister had four touchdowns. He was amazing in this game.
Oh, man.
That was Fourier back in the day as a Patriots Monday and Friday guest. You hear those guests currently on Patriots Mondays
Trip
and Fridays
big.
Here.
He big.
On WEEI. So you, Keith has keys. He does for certain things.
That's right.
You had Fourier's key. What was your key to the game today with your beloved buddy Steve Burton?
You know, back in the old days with Tim Benz and Fourier and Merloni, I did do some keys every Friday. But, okay, my key was Deion Lewis. Easy. He's their entire offense. Forget about Marcus Mariota. Deion Lewis is their offense. Third down, screen game, running game. That's their most important weapon. Take him out of the game, and you should win pretty handily. That was it.
Well, that's electric right there.
There it is.
Well, I mean, I toned it down for you guys. Because you know what? Yeah. Here's the problem. Yeah. I got completely sidetracked. I started thinking about all these other athletes that became like movie stars. And Chuck Norris. Did anybody say Chuck Norris?
Nobody mentioned Chuck Norris.
Nobody said Chuck Norris.
Nobody mentioned Chuck Norris.
I mean, who's been in more movies than that guy? I mean,
Samuel
athlete,
Jackson.
Kung Fu master, karate guy. Like, he's a stud.
I wrote about that on WEEI.com.
I don't doubt it.
Chuck Norris is another one.
Yeah, Deion Lewis is all they got. I mean, they have not scored. Well, 28 on Monday night was the high watermark for the Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, this should be another game where the defense looks good. Like, even if they're not, like, even if you won't be able to really tell, but, like, they should be able to keep them under 20.
Won't they just dare Mariota to complete those passes?
Yes,
I mean, you say Deion Lewis is the key. I would agree with that, and I would say tackling Deion Lewis, because they're going to allow him, Christian, right, to have those dump downs all day. They just don't want him to pick up, you know, 10 and 15 yards every time he does. They're going to give him those plays and try to not get beat by, you know, Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, who's a great athlete but might not be a good tight end. They haven't figured that out yet in Tennessee. But keep everything in front, the old Troy Brown line, GTFB, and don't get beat deep and make Mariota prove up and down the field he can be an accurate quarterback because he's not done that so far in his career.
Well, see, what Dallas tried to do is something similar. What Mariota did, especially on third down, is he ran the ball. Like, so for the times that he ran five times on third down and converted all of them, including a touchdown. So his ability, like, to run is significant. It's like his best asset. Like, his throwing the ball is not his best asset. And, oh, by the way, that receiver core that sucks, by the way, Like they're one of the worst in the NFL. They have almost more drops than any other receiving corps in the NFL. So not only do they not throw it well, they don't catch it well, they don't run it well, they don't block it well. Started to go, what the hell are they going to do? And if you guys have got the TV on or have been paying attention to any of the footage that's coming out of Tennessee, there's more New England fans than there are Tennessee fans.
Yeah, it's crazy
loaded
right now. Yeah,
it's absolutely loaded.
It's like an away game that's posing as a home game. It's nuts. So the comfort level is going to be at an all time high. They're not going to freak out. I don't know what Vrabel's going to do. That's different. I just don't. I don't know. He doesn't have the personnel. So. I mean, like we said earlier in the game, earlier in the show, it's like, all right, you're addressing the team. I don't think he told the team, listen, you guys, they're better than us. Or maybe he did. Maybe he flat out said, listen, they're better than us. They have a better quarterback than us. Personnel. So we're screwed. So what we're going to do is, I don't know. Well, how's he selling this to these guys? See, hang in there?
Keep your head up.
Any given Sunday. No, any given Sunday, right? That would be what you would say.
Keep your head up.
Or they have some sort of insight into, you know, Brady. They can say, look, I know his tells.
Yeah, like,
I went against him in practice.
Thing, but,
I guess.
I don't know.
I'm now making up things. Because,
but as Fourier pointed out, it's not like Vrabel, like he's been saving all his knowledge about Brady. Like, he's been on those Texan staffs.
Pats have put up points against you.
Yes, they have. Now, they didn't, you know, roll him every single time. Like, there's been some competitive games there, but you wonder if he has something else up his sleeve. I don't know. I'm sure he would have already, you know, given it to the Texans rather than just waiting for today.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to wait till I'm a head coach.
Yeah,
I had this one blitz. I had this one notebook. I've been writing all these blitzes in.
Do you think Brady specifically picks on Malcolm Butler?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. He knows how bad he's been.
Everybody
he's
does.
Every snap. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the Cowboys can be successful against him with Dak
Alan
Prescott,
Hearns.
Amari Cooper, Allen Hurns, whoever it was. Then you have to believe the Patriots will.
Maybe, they are.
And, again, I am rooting for Butler to have a good game here today because the narrative has been...
I don't feel bad for a lot of people. I feel bad for Butler.
The narrative has become such a joke between Gasper and your guy Peter King and Greg Bedard. That, you know, we're going to justify not playing him in a Super Bowl because of the way he's played in the first half of the year. I'm rooting for the guy, but based on the tape, the highlights they've shown over and over again all morning long.
Y'all
22 ESPN,
that must have been pouring
double
through.
Move, so. double move, too aggressive, gets beat.
If you're the Titans, who would you put Butler on? Because I think he's going to screw no matter what. Let's play Hogan.
Logan, you think Logan Ryan should be on Gordon. That's
which
just
another,
size-wise.
Another good matchup, by the way, for the Patriots. Edelman against Logan Ryan, right, on the inside?
Edelman.
Isn't Logan Ryan their slot defender?
He is sometimes, but, I mean, you might have to go away from that. I think Edelman will have an advantage over
whoever. The thing. Josh Gordon is not as far as, like, what he doesn't have a lot of routes. Like, he has, like, three routes that he runs.
Runs a nice slant.
He runs the hell out of a slant.
Runs a nice go.
Are they going to slants, goes, and in routes? That's it. I mean.
He looks great doing it, too.
Yeah. You know what? Do they take away the slant route? Can somebody just take that away? Let's just don't let him run the slant because he catches the damn thing, you know, and it's like a 40-yard gain every single time. Why don't just somebody like Max, you know, just press him at the line of scrimmage
and
force
Butler,
him to get off?
That's Butler's strength is being physical and pressing. The issue there becomes
he's so much smaller.
That's part of it. But the other part is if they goad him into, you know, jumping up on the slant, you've seen over and over again by just the highlights on ESPN again, these double moves against him. And so they pump fake inside on us. They will, Rich, you're right, take advantage of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, they're going to look right at him.
I think they'll also, as Tom said, try to get, you know, Sony Michel involved early. He's active today. They had a chance to rest him for an extra week with the bye week. They think he's healthy enough to play. My guess is that means he becomes, again, your first and second down running back. Then James White goes back to third down, Christian and shotgun. And Cordell Patterson becomes a specialty guy again, not the backup running back for this team with these two guys active, I would think. And no Kenyon Barner today. He is inactive. You mentioned the skill position guys for the Titans. This is why I can't drop any scenario where the Titans win this game. Mariota's throwing to, besides Deion Lewis, Corey Davis, who's been good, but if you think he's going to be erased or battled by Stephon Gilmore, that's a plus matchup for the Patriots. Tajae Sharp is active after being limited in Friday's practice.
UMass.
Someone named Cameron Baston and Darius Jennings are the 3 and 4 receivers after Davis and Sharp because Tywan Taylor, their little scat receiver, their Taylor Gabriel, is inactive here today. Jonnu Smith is in for the injured Delonte Walker at tight end. Big athlete, but has not done anything. That's it. Davis, Sharp, Bastin, Jennings, yeah. Jonnu Smith to go along with Deion Lewis.
I do like Davis. I can see Davis had a couple of nice drafts.
That's not a group of guys that's going to put up 30 points.
Well, yeah, and I mentioned, I just looked it up again. Yeah, the Titans, they have the second highest percentage of drops in the NFL. The number one team is the Browns, and then it's the Titans.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't – and so I'm like, you can't find – if you have one guy – thank God they have Deion Lewis. Imagine if they didn't have Deion Lewis.
Oh, they'd have like, nothing.
Well, he was splitting carries up until last week. It was him and Henry as co-backs. They finally realized, Christian, gee, this big Derrick Henry guy who can
– on the season, they're about identical attempts-wise.
Last week was the first week where Lewis really out-snapped
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, and they scored 28 points doing it. It's Lewis because he at least they can drop off passes to him. He's sort of a threat in the draw game, and he makes guys miss tackles. Henry – does none of that. I joked about it earlier, but he's built for a different league. Henry was built for the NFL in the 90s, not right now.
I would say a different team.
What team? What teams are running straight ahead and trying to pick up yardage?
Jacksonville, Seattle. Okay, Detroit. I mean, there are teams.
Seattle's
going to
start Mike Davis today. He's the exact opposite. They had Marshawn Lynch for a while.
My point is that Seattle has instead of like allowing Russell Wilson to do everything on their own, they're reverting back to that smash mouth type of football with a strong running game and a good offensive line. It doesn't have to look like the old days where it's like, you know, five tight ends out there. You run it out of the shotgun. It's just the fact that they just don't have a – listen, their offensive line sucks. Okay, I'm going to read you their offensive line. First of all, their starting right tackle, Jack Coughlin, he's out. In his place is some guy named Dennis Kelly.
Sounds like your neighbor next door. Yeah. I'm going to go to Dennis's house and borrow his lawnmower. Yeah.
I mean, and then we talk about continuity with the offensive line. Like, they have none. They've been rotating guys in and out, so there's another reason why they just can't get anything going. So I look at this and I go, okay, Deion Lewis, one of the best in the NFL yards after contact, but he's like one of the worst with yards before contact. Like he can, you know, so it's like there's so many people in the backfield beforehand that he can't even get going. So he's like negative yards here, negative yards there, and that's why Derrick Henry is so ineffective. Derrick Henry could be a good back, but not on that team.
I guess. I just don't. I feel like I watch the league now, and it's Tariq Cohen, it's James White, it's Deion Lewis, guys who can
– Alvin Kamara.
A little bit of a threat of the run. He's a freak. But everyone has got to catch the ball out of the backfield and be dynamic and at least give you the threat. And it feels like quarterbacks, the completion percentage is going up, and Mariota, I think, had one of his best completion percentage days of all time last week because they're using this receiving running back as an extra receiver. And so
Derrick Henry would work here. He'd be perfect here.
He'd be LeGarrette Blunt, right?
Yeah,
he'd get touchdowns and average 3.5.
But that's still not the guy. So when it's in the fourth quarter, you're still not going to that guy, right? It's still the other. It's still Deion Lewis.
He's not
it's still
a threat to catch a pass.
James White,
right?
So I guess we'll come back. We got to make three picks here.
Let's make some picks.
I'm gonna give you a couple minutes.
Chuck Norris, Merlin Olsen, and
Hulk Hogan.
I don't consider him an athlete.
Thunderlips. What do you mean not Thunder an lips? Athlete? You're insane. He was a weightlifter.
WrestleMania.
A bodybuilder in Venice Beach. Come on.
Body slammed Andre the Giant.
Fourier gave you a great key to the game, Deion Lewis, that gives you picks on these games next.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, we got Patriots and Titans coming up at 1 o'clock. CBS has the coverage locally. Patriot fans have invaded Nashville. The shots of the stadium so far this morning have all been of the Patriot fans there at the Titans. I don't know what it's called.
It's called Nissan Stadium.
Excellent.
Yeah,
brand
Nissan,
name, generic car brand. Excellent. We love them.
Yep.
And including there is a Patriots fan wearing two lobster claws.
Oh, love
who's
lobster.
Become a very popular.
Anybody over there with a big hat that looks like a cup of clam chowder?
I haven't seen that yet. I will continue to look for that. But it's all Patriots fans there in Nashville. We'll get the picks here in a second. But after the game, you're going to watch the game on TV, then flip over to Ordway, Smirlis, and DiAssi as only they can break the games down. They're real football guys. Like our show here, I know we have Fourier. But that's the real football show.
Oh, big
true.
Are they doing two full segments on athletes turned actors?
No. Nope.
I doubt it.
Nope.
Let's get back to the X.
No.
The wham block,
yeah,
all that stuff.
A gap, B gap, you know.
A gap,
all 22.
Yes,
zero set.
All 22 Ordways.
The deep seven coverage,
zero blitz, go route. Jam. So we're fake football guys. We get the real ones after the game here on WEEI. Yeah, let's start with the Patriots. They're 6.5-point favorites at Tennessee. Rich Keefe, where are you landing here?
I'm going with the Patriots. Patriots win by over a touchdown. I think the Titans can't score, and like it doesn't really matter who they're going up against. I don't think they're going to be able to put up a lot of points. I think the Patriots win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, the Patriots win and they cover easily. Yeah. That whole red zone defense, top defense, all that bull crap that Bill was trying to sell us, fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Not 30-13. Hollister gets in the end zone.
Look at
Hollister
that.
Touchdown. Give me 2 other picks here, Keith.
So I didn't take the home dog in the Tennessee game, but I will take 2 home dogs. Okay. How about Cincinnati? They're getting 6 points at home to the Saints.
Same one I saw.
Drew Brees outside of a dome. No, thank you. And I'll take the Browns getting 5.5 at home against Atlanta. A couple of dome teams outside today.
Give me the Bucks laying 3.5 against a banged up Washington Eagles. Huge tonight. 7.5, but they blow out the Cowboys. Any other picks for you? Are you done?
Nah, I'm good.
Perfect. Good work, Christian.
I gave you my movie picks. I gave you my athletes turned actor picks.
You nailed it. We'll watch you later on TV. We'll still hear you tomorrow on LMF. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Boys.
That is Christian Fourier for Ryan Garvin, Rich Keefe, Fourier, Mutt with you guys for another couple of seconds, and then football, and then Ordway, and then tomorrow Brady and Belichick and Boomer, part of Patriots Monday here on WEEI. See you.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.